Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. My name is Bronwyn, and the other night, a few of us from Booktopia were lucky enough to be invited to the 2018 Australian Book Industry Awards, also known as the ABIAs. It was an incredible night. There was so much energy and so much talent in that room. It was great to catch up with everybody and to celebrate the incredible wins of the night. And me personally, I was very lucky to be invited into the media room to do some live coverage of the evening, and best of all, to interact with the winners right after they had received their awards. So, you know, the night would go, the award would be announced, they'd go up on stage and make their speech, and then they'd pop back into the media room, have some photos taken, and then I was lucky to be able to drag them just off to the side for a minute and have a very casual, impromptu chat about the win and the night and how they were feeling. So I spoke to a few authors, Danielle Binks, Jessica Townsend, Maggie Beer, Michael Robotham, Sarah Krasenstein, and Sarah Schmidt. So stay tuned and have a little listen to what they had to say. So first up, I spoke to Sarah Krasenstein, whose book, The Trauma Cleaner, won the General Nonfiction Book of the Year. So I'm here with Sarah Krasenstein. So congratulations on your win. It's incredible. How do you feel?
Thank you so much. Just incredulous. I mean, I didn't expect to. Just being here is enough, so it's pretty exciting.
Did you forget to thank anyone in your speech?
Probably. Yeah. Of course. You get the fears after the fact. Yeah.
With the big light in your face and everyone's staring at you. You think, oh no.
I don't know if you're taking up too much time or not enough.
I know. They start playing that exit music and
yes,
all that.
Yes, the big hook.
So you've got your panel at the Sydney Writers Festival tomorrow. How are you looking forward to that?
I'm really excited about it. I love talking about, you know, this book in particular and books in general and ideas. So it should be a really good time.
Because you're working on another book for the last couple of years, haven't you?
For the last 2 years, yeah, doing research across a number of stories. So I won't be talking about
that. You can't tell anything about us?
Yeah, well, it's not like that mysterious. It's just that, you know, the writing is the thinking. So until I reach the end, I don't really know what I've got.
Great. Yeah. And just wondering, what kind of genres do you normally read?
Oh, I kind of pretty, like, you know, universal in my taste. I try to read a nonfiction and a fiction at the same time. But I always return to narrative nonfiction.
Of course.
Just think, you know, it's a true story, beautifully told. What could be better than that?
Powerful stories, yeah. Absolutely. Thank you so much and congratulations again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Next, I spoke with newcomer Jessica Townsend, whose children's book Nevermore won 3 awards that night. First was the Matt Rochelle Award for New Writer of the Year, then the Book of the Year for younger children aged 7 to 12, and then the Gold ABF Book of the Year Award. I've broken her interview up into two parts because the first time I spoke to her was after she won her first award, and the second time I spoke to her was after she had won all 3. Okay, we're here with Jessica Townsend, who has just won the Matt Rochelle for New Writer Award. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And how do you feel about it?
Completely thrilled and delighted and kind of shocked because the people in that category are so talented and wonderful, and I'm such a fan of them. So, and especially being able to share it with 2 other Hachette authors is kind of an extra thrill in a weird, like, mafia publishing family way.
Right?
Right.
And are you fangirling tonight over any authors here?
I mean, I feel like I'm kind of always secretly fangirling over authors. Absolutely. When 91 Story Treehouse won just then, I was like, yeah, because I love those books. They're so brilliant. And also, I was quite excited to see Jimmy Barnes, but who wouldn't be excited to see Jimmy
Absolutely.
Barnes?
Absolutely. It's Jimmy Barnes, right?
Oh, and no, I just fangirled really badly over Clementine.
Yeah.
Clearly not that good of a man. But I was like, the whole walk in here, I was like, Clem. Like, we're friends. Clem. I just... Is that to tell you that I have followed you on Twitter for ages, and all my girlfriends and my sister and I, we talk about you all the time and how, like, amazing you are for having such fortitude in the face of the terrible things that people say to you online, and we're so grateful that you are, you know, fighting the good fight. It was really embarrassing what I just did to Clementine Ford, but I love her.
She won that same thing last year too.
Amazing,
award, right? So
yeah,
it's kind of a cool photo. Of
she,
you two together
oh,
as well.
That's really cool. I love that.
Clementine Fortitude. We should make that a thing.
Oh, dang!
As you said it, I was like, wait. That's
amazing.
That's the new hashtag. Everyone,
we'll get it out.
Yes,
everyone start
yes,
tweeting it right
please.
Now.
All
right,
cool.
Next up, I spoke with Danielle Binks, whose book Begin and Begin, a Love Oz YA anthology, won Book of the Year for Older Children. Now, Danielle was author and editor, but she was co-author with a lot of other incredible Australian authors. This is an amazing anthology about YA in Australia. and we're here with Danielle Binks, who has just won an AVIA for her collaborative piece Begin and Begin. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I was just hoping to get a nice meal out of tonight, but this is bonus.
It's a bonus, right? The meal is the big thing, and then the award's just your second
absolutely
best, right?
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, how do you feel? Is it amazing?
It is amazing, but I feel a little bit on my lonesome because, you know, I made this book with 9 other people and they're not here today, tonight. But
shame.
But I'll share the load. Don't you worry. I'm going to go
all
and
the glory.
I do get all, but I will shortly be going and sending off some very crazy text messages of thank yous and oh my gosh, and
I'm
look
sure
at these.
They expect no less.
And if they want me to, I will try and get a welder to tear this thing apart into, you
into
know,
9 pieces. Not even pieces.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll do a Mean Girls moment, you know, with
I
the tiara.
So.
We'll try.
Yeah.
But no, it feels incredible. And I think it's wonderful that the industry, the Abbeys have, I think, made a big statement about what Love Osway tried to do, which was a grassroots movement, mm-hmm. just talking about, hey, we have a national youth literature which sometimes gets overcrowded with all of the American titles that get film and TV adaptations, but no, we punch above our weight,
yep.
in this industry, and I think it's just wonderful that they've recognised that.
Absolutely, and so many of us in the office loved your book. It's just amazing.
Thank you.
And so I was just wondering, of the stories in the book, Can't Be Your Own, which is your favourite?
Yeah. Oh gosh, I can't. They're my babies. Can I say if it can't be mine? Can I say it's my letter to readers at the beginning?
Okay.
I think because I really got to communicate to them that Love Osway is not about patriotism. It's not about saying only read Australian stories, mm-hmm. because of course one of the beauties of books is that we get to create empathy and learn about other people and cultures other than our own. No, it was more about, I mean, it's as the name suggests, it's a movement about love. And I really love that I got to communicate that in the letter and just say to them, look, the Love Osway grassroots movement was started because roughly for every 9 titles on the shelves that are international, there's only 1 Australian. And it was just an acknowledgement that we're a little bit shouting above a very crowded room. I don't have a favourite. I'll say my letter to the readers at the beginning.
It's very diplomatic of you.
Exactly. Thank you. That was my loophole.
Absolutely.
So we'll just...
No, it's all right. She's doing professional stuff.
So do you guys have plans for another one?
Oh my gosh, you know what? At the drop of a hat, I will say yes.
Yep.
If HarperCollins asked me, they haven't asked me yet. But I am here, HarperCollins, if you want to...
The idea is here right now.
This might go a long way to them saying, hey, maybe we have to do it again. I mean, I have a title in mind if there was going to be a second one.
Yes.
I love the idea of Play It Again.
Oh, nice.
I know. So, I mean, I'm here, Harper. I'm here if you want to do it.
And if you do another one, are there any other authors out there that you'd like to include?
Look, there were so many who, unfortunately, because of time commitments and clashing dates, couldn't do this mm-hmm. one. So there were some authors who I would have loved to have in the first anthology who just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. For those reasons, I would love to ask them again and just see cheekily if they could do it.
Next, I spoke with the Maggie Beer Australian cook and Professor Ralph Martins on their win for Illustrated Book of the Year. So I'm here with Maggie Beer and Professor Martins. We've just won the Illustrated Book of the Year. Congratulations. How do you feel?
I'm thrilled to bits.
So
were you surprised?
It's unreal. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, whenever I look at that book, my mouth waters. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's just fantastic against all the other competition. It's
absolutely
amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's an incredible win.
Yeah.
And you guys
yeah.
well deserved. It's a beautiful book. So just wondering, what does this book mean to you two? That's a big question.
Well, to us, firstly, I'll start with me to say that this is really an easy recipe for life because I've learned so much from Ralph and I've put his science into my food. And so from that, it gives people something to follow without it being restrictive or this is beautiful food and every bit of it is good for you. And so for me, that's been the secret.
And for me, I have published over close to 400 papers, scientific papers, but I never felt fulfilled because I felt the knowledge I've gained, I haven't got it out there for the community. This one book has done it all.
Absolutely.
And for me, I can retire now. I'm so happy.
Got the shiny award to improve it as well. So just wondering, in the book, if you had to serve one recipe to the audience here tonight, do you have a recipe you... would
you? Oh my gosh, what would I serve? What would I serve them tonight? Well, given the time of year, this change in season, and given that we had some beautiful barramundi here tonight, there is that beautiful and fish curry with the turmeric, and the turmeric being so important, and it's sort of a tip of the hat to Ralph's background that I should choose that one.
Yep.
So yes, just it would have, it is a beautiful, simple dish.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And nutritious, and you know, I think most of the dishes that Maggie has prepared and made in recipes in the book have a number of very protective factors that come together, so it's a combination. You know, and like I use the word "eat the rainbow." You know, all the different food, colored foods make all the difference.
Yes. Yeah.
And of all the books, because you've been out there seeing a lot of amazing books that have been shortlisted, are there any that you're now thinking, I must read that book?
Oh, I think of all. I mean, I am such a reader, and I just I'm taking away tonight the menu of the books that have been pulled up on stage.
Every single
and,
one.
I just, there are those that I already know about, but those that I don't have got to be there.
Absolutely. Oh, there's something for everyone as well, you
there
know.
Is. There for our grandchildren.
That's it.
Yes.
And I was very moved by the number of women writers writing for women and raising up, giving women a bigger voice.
Absolutely.
I like the book on rebels. I'm going to read it now.
Oh, it's such an amazing book.
I am going for
it's
it.
It's beautiful as well.
Well, thank you so much, you guys. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
And next, I spoke with Michael Robotham, whose book, The Secrets She Keeps, won the General Fiction Book of the Year Award. So we're here with Michael Robotham, who just won the General Fiction Book of the Year Award. Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you. It's a huge thrill.
I bet I saw on your Facebook that you said you'll have to prepare your, oh, well, maybe next year face. Well, you were wrong. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you?
I'm very surprised because I think this is the fourth or fifth time I've been up for this award. And most times I've lost the most amazing, like Kate Granville, the most amazing name writers win, and you sort of, and you sort of think, you know, it's not going to happen, you know.
Absolutely.
And I was very surprised.
Oh, well, it's well deserved. It's a fantastic book, and you've got another one coming out in June, The Other Wife.
Yep.
If you had to describe it in one sentence for our listeners, what would you say it's about?
It's about a man who discovers that the father that he's grown up to know and love is not the man he expected.
There you go. And we're really looking forward to it at Booktopia, and I'm sure everybody is. Tonight there have been some incredible books, as I'm sure you're aware, out there. I mean, have you been looking at them reading, thinking, I'm going to read that book, that book, that book? Do you have one that you're desperate to read now?
Well, quite a few of them I've already read. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of make a point of going... And I mean, particularly the books on the shortlist that I was up against.
Absolutely.
You know, I've gone and I've read that, and again, that's one of the reasons I thought I wasn't going to win.
You know,
I read those and thought,
yeah,
some stiff competition. So, and Sarah Smith, who's just won the literary fiction book, I've read that one. I thought that was amazing. Read that a while ago. The one book I haven't read. Some of the shortest books in biographies. I want to sort of do. I haven't done the Jimmy Barnes books yet.
Oh, after tonight, you'll have to.
I know. I have to. So I mean, I've got to. You know, because Jimmy is such a wonderful. I've met him a few times. Been lucky enough. He's such a wonderful guy. I have to read the books.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Michael, and congratulations again.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Next, I spoke with Sarah Schmidt, whose really intriguing, creepy, incredible book about Lizzie Borden, called See What I Have Done, won the Literary Fiction Book of the Year. So we're here with Sarah Schmidt, who just won the Literary Fiction Book of the Year. Congratulations,
Thank
Sarah.
Thank you so much.
So are you totally surprised?
Completely surprised.
Yep.
I actually had money on either Mark Brandy or Sophie Laguna to win. so I'm just like, all day I'm like, I'll just have the wines, I'll just
free
sit
meal.
Back. And then like last night, my publisher said to me, just in case you win, maybe you should put some dot points down, and so I did. And I literally did say ad lib, but don't forget to say the following things. It's an honour. it is an honour.
Did you forget to thank anyone?
Probably. I did, probably.
Yeah.
And when I was kind of doing the first things, I was looking through my acknowledgement pages on my in my book, because that's who you kind of thank, and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to thank all these people. so it was great, and It was great. Completely surprising. And I can just hear someone else. I figure never more, just one book of the year maybe. That's amazing. And so, yeah, I'm very honoured and thrilled and completely surprised.
And what do you think Lizzie Borden would say about your win?
She would fucking love it.
I bet she would.
She would be thinking, this is like all of this. You know, this is like, this is glory. Look at what I did. Look what I did. And so I think sometimes books come to you when you least expect it. And so I am forever grateful that I, after 7 nights of having one dream after another, mm-hmm. that I actually listened to her, because I think, strangely enough, she gave me a career, and she gave me this book, and I don't know who she is really. I don't think I'd ever like to meet her, but I'm very glad that she came to me, or a version of her, and so there was some kind of thing that I connected with her, and so this is so weird. So weird.
And amazing.
And amazing.
Yeah.
I would like to maybe have another martini kind of thing. She was a drinker, you know.
I bet she was.
That's all I have to say about her. Back to me.
Well, you're working on another book. Can you tell us about that?
Okay. Well, yes. Sure. I'm very dream focused, and I just kind of go with the things that come to me. And so a few years ago, this is way too much information, but I was trying to have a baby, and I kept having all these miscarriages, and I had just before I'd had another miscarriage, I had this dream about a woman who was driving to the Blue Mountains, and she was kind of, I knew it was in the 70s, and she was a younger woman, all that stuff, and then she kept looking into her rearview mirror, and so me as Sarah looked into her rearview mirror, and behind her I could see that there was a decomposing baby in the back seat of the car. And then 2 days later I had a miscarriage, and I thought, the first thing I thought was, that is something I have to deal with, and it's obviously something that I it means something to me, and so I knew it was always going to be about the anxieties of parenthood, but I said to my dream woman, I have another person to deal with, her name is Lizzie, if you can come back to me when it's time, you can. Anyway, I not long after that, well, a few months later, I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, mm-hmm. and that woman and that baby has always kind of stuck with me, and so it has developed into something else, but it's I've been working with this book, and I don't know what it is, and it's not a very happy story, but the only thing I can think of is, even when it comes out, and I know it's kind of be a very bleak story, but the only thing I can say to you is that it's a love letter to my daughter, even though it's horrible. It's a horrible subject matter, but that's what it's about. But I still don't know what it's about. It's just, it's set in Australia this time.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah.
We can't wait to get our hands on
Thank you. I can't wait to write it.
Oh, good.
But yeah, it's something that I'm completely obsessed with. And so, it's something that keeps me up at night. And so I think if it keeps me up at night,
it's worth
it's something I want, then it's worth writing, mm-hmm. and hopefully it's worth reading.
It will be, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Congratulations
Thank
again, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I'm back again with Jessica Townsend, who has just won her third award of the night, the Gold Ebbia Book of the Year. How does it feel?
Really weird and very exciting, and I'm thrilled. Obviously, I'm delighted. Yeah, I can't believe it.
Did you ever think at all that you would be walking out of here with not one, but three awards?
No. I mean, I did not even think one, to be honest. I'm shocked. I don't even know what to say. This is the most that my brain can handle at the moment, is just repeatedly saying, what?
Well, it is a testament to the incredible story that is Nevermore, that, you know, we are acknowledging it here tonight. You've got so many fans. It is an incredible story, and it's so well-deserved.
Thank you so much. That's really kind. There's been so much support from you guys, from booksellers the world over, and I've been talking about that a lot in the last few days, but I genuinely hope that booksellers understand the really important role that they play in publishing, because everyone is so grateful to them at all levels. So, yeah.
It's a great team effort, and we're so glad to have amazing authors like you
to sell
to the fans out there.
Thank you, and thanks for all of your support.
And I was just wondering,
So you're writing these incredible books that are inspiring not only kids but adults. What books as a kid were the ones that inspired you?
So the author that I just devoured everything that he ever wrote was John Marston. I started reading Tomorrow When the War Began, that series, when I was 11, and I read every single one and then all of his, you know, back catalogue. And he just his mastery of voice and humour, and the way that he was able to write such an authentic female voice in Ellie Linton as well, and someone who is kind of, you know, brave but vulnerable at the same time, and the way that he writes nature, I found him inspiring from kind of day one. And I met him when I was 13 at a children's literature festival, and I saw him speak and talk about writing, and for me that was kind of the moment where I, you know, he really humanized the idea of the author for me, and that was the moment where I thought, oh no, authors are real people, like this guy who used to be an English teacher.
And you're thinking, I could do this.
Well, at that point I was like, how could I ever do that?
And now look at you. Look at you. Three awards. Absolutely incredible.
Thank you so much.
And how are you going to celebrate tonight? You're going to keep going on?
I'm so jet lagged. I just came from the UK. Like, I arrived at 5 a.m. I still have not quite recovered. So I think I'm going to celebrate by looking at the back of my eyelids. But my sister is with me, and she won't let me leave without, like, at least hitting the dance floor once, I think.
That sounds like a great idea. And those beautiful shoes.
Thank you. They're sparkly, amazing. Rose gold glitter shoes for those of you playing at home.
Where on earth did you get those?
I got them from Office in the UK, which is like my favorite.
Just have to go to the
store.
UK.
Yeah, so just basically fly to the UK.
Worth it for shoes like that. Well, thank you so much, Jess. Congratulations again.
Thank you so much. That's really kind.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can head on to our social media to see more coverage of the night. And on our blog, The Booktopian, there is a nice article piece of covering the entire night and everything that went on. And all the prize winners are there, so you can enjoy their amazing books. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.